Hey, housewives, come on in. You know the dirty dishes are still in the sink from yesterday and the laundry is still in the basket. Pop your AirPods in and make yourself at home here.
I'm Tracy.
I'm Tori.
And we are your Unlikely Housewives. Stepping out in faith and believing that God calls the unlikely, we are here to show you the appreciation and validation you deserve, lead you to authentic relationships, and release you of believing the cultural lies to restore your faith and wellness.
Pull up those high-waisted yoga pants, tighten your top knot, and reheat your coffee for the third time. Turn up the volume and let's go. Housewives.
Hey, welcome back.
We're here and we have got an incredible guest for you that Tracy's going to introduce. She is a dear friend of both of us, and I've been fortunate to get to know her over the last 3 years, really. Really, it was the 3 year of whatever that we call it, and that brought us closer together, our little Bible study group, and she's awesome. So go ahead and introduce her, Trace.
Yeah, well, I think that's what's so great about this is we get to have whoever in this seat with us. And we chose our dear friend, Myla Little, because we've walked through a lot of stuff with her over the last few years and prayed through so much for her and with her family for schooling aspect from homeschool and public school and co-op and just let's take a break and fly to Florida for a month. I mean, we've done all the things with her.
Yeah.
And so we know that mamas and dads, we're a lot of us are sitting in the whole what's going on with the schooling world. And we just get to have an open conversation with her about the journey that they have been on since 2020. And so Myla has been married to Donnie for 15 years and they have 4 kids, 12, 9, 7, 2, and another little bundle on the way.
Yeah. So welcome, Myla. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. Well, okay. So let's just start. Myla picked up her family for an entire month and moved to Florida. I think that's a pretty good statement on we were all when I think it was over the summer, we were making plans. We're like, well, how about October? And she's like, I'll be in Florida. And we're like, well, how about this? Yeah, we're going for a whole month. And we're like, what? How do you do that? So give us kind of the story about why you chose to go to Florida for a whole month. Then we'll ask you some questions about that.
Okay, very good. Yeah, totally something that came out of just desperation, I feel like, for our family. My husband travels a bunch for work, and it had been a long winter. Actually, it was January of last year this time, and he was out of town. And I was homeschooling. We had one in public school, 3 at home, and he'd been gone for a while and it was cold. I hate the winter. And I'm like, we've got to do something. Like, we missed that family time that we just felt like we were lacking with him being gone, with kind of kids getting more involved and active. And I just called him. I'm like, what if we just get away for a bit? Like, a while. So we started looking. The initial thought was maybe a couple weeks. The place that we stumbled across, you had to book for a month. How inconvenient, right?
Oh, darn.
I'm like, it's a really, really great deal, honey. But we have to stay for a month. And my husband is one that does not miss work. He just doesn't. And he'd been gone he'd been gone for almost 3 months. He's home on the weekends. Gone for almost 3 months, and he was even feeling that he just missed the kids, missed being together, and so he's like, book it. I'm like, what? I did not think he was going to be on board with it.
And you don't ask, you're like, yes, done, okay.
Well, no,
and
then I was like, there's no way he's gonna say no, and so I didn't book it, and I waited for a week or so, and he's like, did you ever book that condo? It's like, no. He's like, you better do it or I'm going to change my mind. I'm like, okay. So I get online. The condo was no longer there. Oh, no, I knew it. Very long story short, I actually still had the link that I'd sent him initially. I'd emailed the guy. It was a total God thing. The price had gone up $900, and they said that it could not fit our family anymore. And I'm like, I put in all, and the guy that we were working with was able to get permission to allow our family to stay since Griffin was not even 2 at the time. And our youngest was not even 2. And So they got permission for us to stay there for the month. And then he said they realized they were actually going to lose money. So they had to like up the price.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, that's a bummer. He's like, but since you reached out and since you sold at this price, we'll give it to you at this price. So it was like, God opened door after door after door. And I'm like, this is all like, I just felt so much peace where before I was like, what are we doing? And I was like, wow. And we just went for it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. You are a family of six currently.
Yes.
Now tell us, how big was this condo?
It was a 1,200, I believe, 1,200 square foot condo.
But like two bedroom.
Yeah, there's two bedrooms upstairs, two bathrooms upstairs, and then a little tiny living room and kitchen. And that was it.
Yeah. And that's not what you live in on the rate. I mean, you have right. a little bit more room. You do have yes. four kids here in Kansas. So, yeah. But the other thing that I found fascinating is how many outfits did you pack?
I was going to say, hold on. We're going to get to the school stuff here in just a second. But we need you to understand, you went on a minimalist mission.
I did.
Prior to this.
I did. Last year was just a year where I knew things needed to change. Not only were we feeling like our family was not getting the family time that we so longed for, the time that we would get together, I was so overwhelmed with stuff in my house and everything. The cleaning, like I had at one time in my life, we had a cleaner for a little bit and I couldn't even enjoy the cleaner because of all the clutter we would have to like
pick up and organize. You got to clean before the cleaners get there.
My oldest just asked last week, like, why do we have to do this? I'm like, can you imagine what life would be like if we didn't do this every 2 weeks, though?
Yeah.
Because it's just the stuff that builds up. And it's not bad stuff. Yeah. It's just your shoes or an extra sweatshirt or just things that don't get in the place that they belong.
Right.
So you started creating order.
I started creating order. And I just kind of had this idea of like, I felt like I was losing the joy in my house. And I just had this idea of like, I need to like uncover the joy that I once had. Like, I want to find joy in being able to cook for my family and being able to be home for them. And like, praise God, I have all this laundry to do because I've got all these beautiful family members.
Yes.
But I was not finding any joy in any of it. I was just totally overwhelmed and angry. And like I said, the time that we wanted to spend together, I felt like I was drowning and then I was grumpy and stressed and I'm like, something has got to give. So I just went on this mission and I will say this. I have my minimalist friends who I love dearly and I've always admired, but I had no desire to even like explore that because I was totally in. I even have a shirt that I might have gotten rid of it now, but it just says embrace the chaos. Because my house is chaos. If any of my friends know, it's a mess everywhere. We're doing art projects. We're cooking. We're baking. We're outside. We, like all the kids, all the neighbor kids end up at my house. And people are like, I can't believe you're letting them do this. I'm like, it'll clean up. It's fine. So my house has always kind of been like the chaotic, messy house. And I've embraced it and I've loved it, truly. But after 12 years now of total kind of just mess all the time, it was getting to where I'm like, all right, my kids are getting a little bit older and it's starting to overwhelm me more than the joy that I had in it. And so I'm like, there needs to be some order. The month before we went to Florida, I just was like, I'm going to take 30 days and be diligent. And every single day I'm going to accomplish XYZ task. And I actually started a little Facebook group for accountability.
Yeah.
And
motivated me.
Yes. I have had so many parents that are like, oh, and I just showed people. I showed people like, you guys, look at this closet. Like, I just showed people real and raw, like what it looks like behind the scenes in my house. And so many are like, oh my gosh, I need this. I need this. Thank you. And we just kind of held each other accountable for the 30 days. And I was ruthless. I mean, I was listening to podcasts about decluttering. I was following accounts. I just kind of like inundated myself with all stuff minimal. And I still have a very long ways to go. However, I got in a month, I got rid of well over 25 bags of stuff from our house. That was donated. That was not trash.
Yeah.
25 bags of stuff that was donated. And I went through every counter, every cabinet. I went through all the drawers, everything. And I just felt like I had less stuff that I could sit down for a minute and not feel like I needed to be doing all of the things. And so when I went to Florida, we drove. It was 18 plus hours. and we had my van, and I'm like, we got to fit everything in here for a month.
Yeah.
In our van. And so I packed very minimal. I think I took 4 shirts and maybe 4 pants and like 2 pairs of shoes and 2 swimming suits and 2 cover-ups. And that was it. And it was wonderful. I never felt like I needed clothes ever.
That's awesome. And and the kids wear the same darn thing every other day anyway.
Exactly.
They have their 5 favorite shirts and then you can just switch. But like, that's amazing. I feel like I could fit all. No, I don't know. I don't know if I
couldn't. I don't even pack like that when I go on a 5-day trip somewhere.
Right. Yeah, I know. I packed. Oh, I overpack because I feel like I'm going to want options.
Yes.
Yeah. But depends on what mood I'm in, how I'm feeling.
Right, exactly. Right.
It did help that we were going. We didn't really have any plans. It's not like, oh, I need this outfit for this, this outfit. It was like, we are going and we're chilling. Like, we have got to reset, hit the reset button and just reconnect and just enjoy. And so that helped too.
Yeah. Okay, before we move on to actual schooling, what was your favorite part of like being away for a month with your family? And did you bring like a lesson back or anything when you came home?
Probably my favorite part was just the slowdown. You're told all the time, you just need to slow down. Everybody needs to slow down. And when you're home, it really feels almost impossible when you're going to different activities and different things. But to truly be able to slow down with our family and kind of, everyone's like, didn't you get bored? You didn't even have, we literally didn't have a game plan. We did homeschool while we were there. So we brought all the homeschool stuff. But just slowing down to reconnect with one another and spend time together, that was just, we didn't even really do very much. Most vacations, you're like going and you're sightseeing and you're doing all these things. We would like go to the beach and come home. And we just didn't do anything elaborate or big, partially financially. We're like, we're gone for a month. This is a huge financial commitment for us to do this. But also we just were totally content to be, go for walks, go to the pool. And just the time that we had together, it allowed us to really slow down, go on a vacation with no plans, even if it's for a week. It doesn't have to be for a month. Highly recommend.
Yeah. How many times do we get back from a vacation and we say, oh, I need a vacation for that vacation?
100%.
Like, that is one of the biggest, for people that go to Disney World, I tell them 1,000 times, great.
Yeah.
Go to Disney World, do Disney World for 3 days. Yeah. Then drive 3 hours to some kind of beach and chill out.
Yep.
Because you're going to come home and you're going to be back in the chaos of life, back in the, like, it's just not going to stop. And
right.
I'm like, be able to enjoy the Disney and then have this actual break, because otherwise you're just going to be like,
holy crap. For sure. Yeah. And so we went with that intent, like knowing we don't have a game plan. We're literally going to be able to slow down. So that was probably my favorite part, is just a vacation that truly felt like relaxed.
Yeah.
And something fun was that my family typically goes to Sarasota in October. And what they were doing is like once a week, they would pick a different beach to drive to and just plan on spending the day at the beach so they could try out different beaches. And it just so happened that Siesta Key was where we were staying. And that was the beach that they had planned for the last week when we were there. And so our families got to hang out for the whole day.
Yeah.
And
that's still my daughter's like highlight of the trip, was getting to hang out with your kids.
Oh, man. I mean, they're like, can we invite the littles like to this? And they're like, when are we going to see them again? I was like, we'll get there. I promise. But so that was a lot of fun.
Yep.
So now let's talk about schooling. You've kind of mentioned the homeschool part, that you took some of the homeschool stuff. Now, tell us currently of your 4 kids, what is each one doing? Just to give an overview of what that looks like.
So our oldest is 12 and she is in middle school at public school. First year of middle school for her. And then I have a 9 and a 7-year-old, so 3rd grade and 1st grade. And they are homeschooling. And we also go to a co-op 2 days a week. And then I've got the 2-year-old at home.
Yes. So let's talk about how schooling has changed in the last 3 years. And like Tracy started us off with, it's making parents going, okay, wait, what options do I have? Like there are a lot more options now. And you don't just have to homeschool. And
Well, and I think, too, from our perspective and most people know that our youngest now goes to a private school. It wasn't even an option before COVID. This school started out of COVID. And there's so many micro schools that are being created. There's so many different options that now, you know, you don't have to pay private school tuition. You can, but there's just a lot of different options along with homeschooling.
Or it's not as expensive. It's not as expensive as you think it is.
Exactly. There's a lot of those.
Yeah.
So all that to say that it has changed since COVID for a lot of people and in different cities and in even small towns. Going back to 2020, you only had one in public school and you had Littles Home.
Yes.
No pun intended with your last name being Little. Littles Home.
No fun. Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah, right. So tell us how that changed for you.
Yes. In 2020, when it was fourth quarter of the school year and my daughter was in second grade, and we did virtual. We were all sent home for virtual and it was torture. It was so awful, bad. None of us liked it. And it was really rough. And I'd kind of had felt this tugging on my heart since kindergarten, actually, for her, like this idea to possibly homeschool.
Okay, pause. Tell them, though, about your previous profession.
I was a school teacher.
Okay, fair.
Yes, yeah. I was a school teacher. However, zero thought that I would ever homeschool. Like that was not even on my radar at all. But something I can remember when my daughter was in kindergarten. And a lot of it was I just wanted to be home with my kids. I know that time goes so fast and I just cherish every moment at home that I have with the kids and sending them off to school for so long. I'm just like, oh, that's it. While they were so little and there's so much you could be doing and being out and about. And then one was at school. It's like tearing my heart because she'd be like, what do you guys do today? And I'm like, oh,
that's true. You know, she feels like she's left out. Like we went to the museum. And,
exactly. And so I think that's kind of what initially started. I taught middle school for 7 years as well before I got to come home with my kiddos. So that's what kind of started at kindergarten. I started kind of thinking about it. I started following some homeschool stuff. I did read a book that like I never have been able to get off of my mind since I read that book, The Call of the Wild and Free. And I read like the first couple chapters and I was like, oh my gosh, my heart just like reading it. I was like, I think this is what we need to do. But yet I was too nervous. I'm like, no. Like that's like not the norm. Nope, we're not doing it. But it was just a thought. And after I read that book, I couldn't ever really kick that like nudge to possibly homeschool. Well, a positive that came out of COVID was it gave me the courage to be like, hey, it's now or never. Like, we just did virtual school. It was not successful at home. And if I wanted to really try this, I had that next year, my next daughter was starting kindergarten. And I'm like, this is a really great time to try this and see if this could be a good fit while she would go, you know. And we didn't know what the state of the schools were going to be in.
Right.
Either.
Nobody knew what to expect that fall.
Yeah. COVID made that kind of easy for us. We just decided, you know what, this year, we're just going to try it. We're going to homeschool. And we did a co-op then as well, a separate co-op that was wonderful. We loved it. We have since switched.
So tell people, what is a co-op if they're new to the whole homeschool? Right. Like, what is a co-op and how does that work?
So a co-op, there are lots of different co-ops that you can choose from. Some of them are drop-off co-ops where you can take your kids and they focus on every co-op is different. Some of them are more, the one we went to was nature-based, but they still taught, they would teach math and they would do some reading and they would do like the electives, very life skills. That one was very like life skills. And my kids, like snow days, when they'd have snow days here, they were like, bring all your snow gear, bring your sleds. Like they just got to live life and they loved it. But they did have that educational aspect. They did Spanish there too. And there are co-ops where you go and you actually stay and you need to help as a parent. You have to help out at the co-op. And that was not an option for me. I really needed a couple days because I have a job that I do at home as well. And I'm like, I just need some time that I can devote to that and continue to homeschool. So I needed a drop-off program. So that really, I mean, that kind of limited my co-ops right off the bat because many of them, you have to stay there. And now we're at a co-op and it's a faith-based co-op. And so they do devotional. They also have all the electives. They do history. They do a reader's theater. They do music. They do Spanish. They do science. I'm probably missing some, but they do the electives to where at home, we're able to really just focus on math and reading. And then anything else that we do is just kind of supporting the other electives. But yeah, they go 2 days a week and it's a drop-off program for where we're at right now.
Okay. So you've got your kindergartner and you're soon to be your third grader.
Yep.
And you're going to do this homeschool thing. You found a co-op. How did that go?
Yeah, it went great. It really did. I found finding a curriculum was overwhelming, very overwhelming. And so if anybody is considering homeschool, I didn't do this, but I wish that I would have. And I honestly still would love to go. They do have like homeschool convention where you can go and you can see different curriculums and kind of find out what's like a good fit for you. We just went with one that had come highly recommended from several friends that I had talked with. And it was great. Really, we loved it. We just lived life. I mean, most of the world was pretty much still kind of shut down.
Yeah.
And my kids didn't really, I don't feel like they experienced the COVID like so many had to, you know?
Yeah.
We just kept going. A lot of our stuff that we did was outside. And so we found a curriculum. The curriculum went great. Spent a lot of time just living life. They were still so little and it went really well.
What was the curriculum you chose?
At that time, we did The Good and the Beautiful.
That's what we did too.
Yes.
For kindergarten.
Well, that's actually what we did for my third grader. And for the kindergartner, we did My Father's World.
Oh, yes. I heard that one's
good. Oh, I loved it for kindergarten. We did end up supplementing. As you kind of get going, you're like, I feel like we might need a little bit more help in this area, that area. That's the beauty of homeschool. And so we did end up supplementing with master books. It was a really simple with the math piece that we were able to add that in. So that was what we did the very first year was The Good and the Beautiful. And I was told, like, don't get all this stuff. Like, do not. You're not going to get to it. It's too overwhelming. Like, choose one and just roll with it. And so that was a big tip that helped. Because when you get started, everybody's like, oh, this works for us. And this works for us. And this works for us. And you're like, so much stuff. And lots of prayer.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We picked a curriculum. We stuck with it.
All right. So we get our third grader and our kindergartner through, right?
Right. Yes.
Okay. So at what point, because at some point we transition back into public school with a child, right?
Right.
So what made you decide that for a kiddo?
So that was life circumstances kind of last minute. That was when we were pregnant with our fourth. And again, hubby was traveling a lot and I was homeschooling, then had the one at home and was pregnant. It was the summer and we had planned on homeschooling. We were still just going to keep going. And I decided to have a home birth. I was 36 weeks. I'd been with my doctor the whole time, hospital births for all my others. But at 30.
Okay, we're not going to hospital births for all of for others.
Yes.
And then for baby number four, it was decided a home birth. Probably because a lot of the restrictions, the COVID and what hospitals were requiring at the time and
exactly
all of that kind of thing. So you were like, nope, not going to do it.
What month was this? Like, when was he going to be born?
So he was born August 8th, and I decided like the beginning of July.
So this is right as school was starting anyway.
Yeah. So he was due basically a week before school was starting, which was going to be a lot. I was already like, okay, how am I going to have a newborn and homeschool? But we were just going to, I knew that it could happen. We were just going to do it. And then I had this home birth idea come on very strong. And I kind of had to inundate myself with everything home birth. And I felt overwhelmed at the thought of getting my mindset prepared to do a home birth, having a baby at home, my husband possibly, who knows if he's getting sent out of town, and homeschooling. And so when I say a lot of prayer, I'm talking like all day long, all night long. I woke up, I was praying. I was writing in a prayer journal. My family knew my prayers, and I did not know what to do to where I felt like I was suffocating. But praise God, he just gave me a total clarity and peace of mind to home birth, because that was a big, like, do I really do this? Like, because at the time, my aunt, she's like, you could just do little house on the prairie and have this baby at home. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm not that mom. I mean, I had total admiration for those. But that was, again, not on my radar. And it took a lot for my mind to be able to, like, even know if that was the right, like, I didn't know if that was the right choice. I was very overwhelmed for that last 4 weeks of my pregnancy. But I did just get total clarity. Like, this is it. You can do this. The home birth is going to be fine. I did shut out all the noise. I didn't tell anybody that we were doing a home birth, really, except maybe my Bible study girls and my family. I couldn't handle anybody else's thoughts and opinions. I just had to like pray, and I just really needed some time to be like with God and truly feel like I could hear from him with that home birth piece. And then also for that, like that was like a 2-in-1 prayer. It was like, God, I just need direction. And I felt total clarity with like, this home birth is going to be fine. And I went in, when I initially thought, it was just so much fear, and it shifted to total clarity and calm. And with homeschool, I had this guilt of like, I failed homeschool. Now I'm sending him back to public school. People are going to be like, what is she doing?
Can we just camp on that for a second, though? That is really everybody's fear.
Right.
Because they think it's permanent. If I'm going to pull my kids and I'm going to homeschool them to either catch them up or to help them get confidence back or to get them where they need to be, they feel like if they then send them back to school, they've failed at it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's not what homeschooling's for.
No, no. And that's the beauty of homeschool. That's the beauty of having these options, is that it is not forever. It is not permanent. And you can always change.
Yeah.
And that has given me a lot of comfort over the years. And that was it too, is this, at this moment, at this time, it is best for my kids and for me, for them to go back to school. And they were okay with it too. So that helped. It wasn't like I had that stress of them not being happy. But yeah, we decided they'll go back to school. They were on board with it. And honestly, it was a great year. We had our struggles with public school. I remember everything that comes along with that. It's different. And homeschool does too. They both totally have their struggles, but it went well. They did public school. We were able to have a home birth, and that year went relatively pretty smooth. So I did have, at that moment, I had a first grader and a fourth grader.
Okay. So then at what point do they stay in public school for the entire year, as 3 and 4 are at home? So what changes there?
So yeah, that year they stay in school the full year. To be honest, I hadn't really thought too much if we were going to go back to homeschooling at this point, until we got an email from this co-op that we've been on the wait list for before our other co-op. They're like, hey, we have an opening, and it was a lot closer to home. And this one was faith-based, touched on a lot of those other concepts that I was hoping to find to support our homeschool. And so we got that email, I think, in like April. And I was like, it wasn't on my radar. I don't really know. So went back to praying like crazy, and ended up after a lot of, it was a lot of prayer and just talking with our kids. Because while you are the adult and you can make the choice for them, I also, it's not going to be successful if it is dreaded either way.
Right.
And so I wanted a lot of people say, you're the mom, just make the decision for them. I'm like, I understand that. But at the same time, homeschooling is not going to be a great experience if they...
For either one of you.
Right,
yeah.
Right, exactly.
And they have to have some buy-in.
For sure. Or right. It'll just be miserable for both of you.
Yeah. And it's not... You can still give them, knowing that, okay, we're going to do homeschool, but you can then, even give them a choice of like, hey, these are two curriculums, which one do you, but then that way it just, they feel like they have a choice in it somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah, we learned that children need choice so that they have a little bit of, like you said, buy-in and control over things that go smoother.
Agree more. Yeah. And so while we felt very strong that we would love to homeschool again, after talking with our girls, one of them was just really set on staying at school. She just really wanted to stay at public school, and she'd get very anxious and want to cry at the thought of having to homeschool. We did something we didn't think we would ever do. We never foresaw ourselves splitting and having one in public school and the other two in homeschool. But that's ultimately the route that we chose. So we ended up having a fifth grader and a kindergartner homeschool, and then our second grader went to public school. And again, I do think one thing that I've been able to just release is, what are people going to think? And it's like, it doesn't matter. It does not matter what anybody thinks, just what is right for your family, and being confident, being able to just be confident in it. And this is what we chose, and this is what's working. And again, it's not forever. If it doesn't work, then we can make changes next year. So yeah, we ended up with one, and one just really wanted to stay in public school. The other two ended up going to now a new co-op and homeschooling. It was a good year. It was tough having them split. I will say that. There's always the FOMO piece that at public school, they're doing this and we didn't get to do that. And then at homeschool, you're doing this. And so there's the FOMO piece on each side. And don't get me started on the snow days.
Oh, yeah.
Because at homeschool, we don't have snow days. We just get through our stuff and keep going. But when one of them has a snow day, it is not fair that the homeschool kids have to homeschool.
So yeah, that's hard.
As a parent and teacher, you just have to be, all right, snow day for everybody. It's not worth the battle.
Right.
So there are those battles. It was an interesting year, but we made it work with kind of having the one in public and the others in.
Okay. And then
so you made it to third quarter.
Yeah.
Right. So
I said it was not ideal. I didn't love it, but I was just making it work. I had continued just to pray that like God would just guide our hearts and guide our minds to where we're in one place, because it did feel like a bit of a divide. And whether that was public or whether that was homeschool, that like we would all be together as a cohesive part, a piece of our family. And so I had been praying and praying over it, and there was just this, everybody was pretty happy where they were. But it was right before spring break. There was this little situation, and I had really been praying. Like, just, I wanted my one that was in public school, I just wanted her to come try the co-op. And I thought, you know what? I don't know if the co-op will even let us, but maybe they will let her just come for a day and try it out. Because the enrollment was open for that next year, and I was thinking ahead, like, what are we going to do? I talked with the co-op if she could come try the co-op just for a full day. And I thought, because we'll know, I just felt like we'd kind of know. She'll kind of get a good feel for it and think, I could do this, or absolutely not. And I needed to know if it was going to be an option, is really what that was. So it was right before spring break. I asked him if we could do this. She's like, we'll let you do it since you've already got a couple here. At the time, my daughter's like, I just don't think I want to do it. Well, there was a little situation like a few days later that happened, and she came to me and she's like, Mom, I want to go try it just for a day. And I was like, wow. And so I reached back out. I'm like, does this offer still stand? She went to the co-op for a full day before spring break. She loved it. They were wonderful. And she spent the full day in her class with the kids she didn't know. And I had no idea how it was going to go, truly. Picked her up, all smiles, had the best time. She even had, oh my goodness, because my other kids were already there. And my son, one of his friends is the same age as my daughter. And they kind of connected them, so they would at least have that connection there. And she sent my daughter like this little video of like, I had the best time with you today. And it was just that like extra touch that my daughter was like, oh, it just kind of made her feel, I don't know. I think it just kind of gave her like
peace in her heart.
A peace in her heart. Yeah, for sure. I was coming home in tears, just crying. Oh, so this is actually what had happened. I forgot this piece. She did it. I'm like, okay, trying to figure out if this is an option for next year. Wonderful. It was, she liked it. I'm like, all right, so it can at least be on our radar for next year. Over spring break, one of the ladies from the co-op reached out and she's like, hey, we actually have a spot for her if she would like to come finish out this school year. I know that was not what you were thinking, but if she wanted to, we will allow you to do that. And I'm like, oh my goodness, how many more decisions can we do? That's again where I did not know what to do. That was a huge decision. I would have to pull her from public school. But at the same time, I was like, this would be a really great opportunity for her to spend this last 9 weeks to decide for the following year, is this going to be a good fit for her? So she didn't know what she wanted to do. We talked with her about it. She didn't know what she wanted to do. Then this little girl sent this video. And I felt like it was a God thing. I'm like, the fact that she sent her this video and my daughter was so like, I think gave her that peace of heart, peace of mind that it could be okay to do this for one quarter and see what happens. We decided to pull her, and it was really hard after spring break. She didn't go back to school after spring break.
Yeah. So we didn't get to say goodbye. Nobody knew that she was leaving, those
right.
kind of things. Yeah.
And so along with that, her teacher from public school sent me an email and they're like, our kids are heartbroken. She didn't come back. Could she please come say goodbye? And I'm like, we're not gone. We're still here. And I'm like, I don't know that her little heart can like take it because it's already a pretty sensitive spot right now. But she did. She went in and we said, this is goodbye from school, but you can still see me after school. We're all still here. And so she finished out at the co-op. Again, never thought I'd pull her, but it also goes to show you guys that nothing is permanent. And you can make changes and see what's working and what's not.
And that your kids will survive.
They will survive. They are resilient, and they've made a lot of new friends and new experiences through the different.
And just sometimes the change is what they need. They need a confidence booster. They need a change of pace. they need different friendships or a break from a friendship or, and again, I'm not saying that a friendship is not the reason to choose whether or not you stay in school,
but that's to them. That is so important.
Yeah.
Well, and sending her the last quarter was not, you were like, no, I'm just thinking for the next year. And then God opened a door and said, hey, if you want this spot, it did give you another decision to make, but it was almost more abundantly clear, like that's where he wanted her. Yeah. Like, I've opened this for you and this is where this is going to be what you want. How'd she finish the quarter?
Yeah, so she finished the quarter. It was great. And then
all three were homeschooling. So that was your like little window.
tiny
window of everybody home for homeschooling.
For 9 weeks.
Yep, for 9 weeks.
And then summer.
Then summer came.
And another decision.
And then come fall. Okay, so then what grades do we have?
This was a big transition year because my oldest was going to middle school and then the other two were still in elementary. My oldest, she loved the homeschool piece. She loved the co-op, but there's a part of public school that she missed that I didn't feel like I could really duplicate in the homeschool setting that she just felt like she was missing out on. And she also had that, oh, it's a new school. It's middle school. Next year, we get a tryout for the sports. And so her wheels were just turning and she had some total clarity that like, I'm ready to go back to school. And going through middle school, I'm like, can we do this? And we did it. It was fine. So she transitioned back to public school, middle school. And it was a big transition, but she's done so well with it. I think just her kind of being in a different co-op and being two different co-ops and doing homeschool, she's had that change to where going to middle school was kind of like, oh, this is another school. And she's done really well with it. And then the other two did stay home. Now this year, that is current year, a middle schooler, and then a third and first grader at home.
Okay. The kids have experienced different things, and you've done what's individually best for each child. You made the hard decision, like, while it may be tougher on you for a little bit, but like, God is giving you a piece about having your oldest in public school and then homeschooling these two, and that's the incredible piece.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say it is easier with one in middle school and the other two in elementary that were split. It was when they were all elementary age and one was public and the other were home. That was harder. But with it being middle school, it just feels a little different this year.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, I think the lesson that you've taught these kids and yourself is like family first.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter what the school situation looks like and the mold of each kid and what they're doing doesn't have to be the same. We talk about on this podcast all the time that you can't parent each kid the same. Everybody has different needs and desires, and you have tapped into that with each kid, with each year. And I remember when we started, and we talked about this before, it is hard to break the mold with a kid.
Oh.
I mean, our youngest was the one that branched off. Our other three are still in public. But it was hard to do something different for her.
Yeah.
That we didn't with the other three. And now, I mean, just like you have experienced, you build confidence in going, hey, I made this decision and it was a right decision. And you just keep on going.
Right. Yeah.
You built your own confidence there. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Like going back to your kids are always going to remember that month in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're going to remember that. And they're going to take that feeling of, no, you put your family first. You put your marriage first. Like, dad travels all the time, but mom and dad made the sacrifice for a month for all of us to be together. Yeah. And they're going to want those qualities mm-hmm. in partners and look for them, that those are their values, their core values, too.
Yeah. So. And I think it was good for all of us to just know, like, sometimes you truly have to pull out. I mean, we felt we needed to pull out of life for some clarity and direction. I mean, granted, I know that a month seems a little outlandish.
But it's possible.
It is possible. And when I mean, it's not because we both get lots and lots of vacation time.
I was going to say, how did your husband's job, when he said, hey, I'd like to be gone for a month?
Right.
How did that go?
They were, I think, all a little shocked because he's the one that gets the 10 vacation days a year and rarely ever used them. And so for him to do this, they're like, they knew that we probably needed it. And so they were very supportive, thankfully. So he gave them plenty of notice because, like I said, he got sent out of town. And so they were very supportive and they had a job for him. And he was like, I'm like, what happens if we get back and they don't have anything? Like, we just trusted God. Like, we didn't think that would be the situation. But you know what? If it was, we'll make it work. praise the Lord, he still had a job when we got home and they put him right back to work. But it was not because we had all this extra vacation time. In fact, we worked our behinds off. Even for our kids' co-ops, we just, as that was one extra expense that we have right now. And we worked several Monarch games together. We made it little date nights because our co-op is awesome. And they schedule these different fundraisers, I guess, for you to raise money for your tuition. And you can work them and they will apply it straight to your tuition. And so we were so fortunate. We paid for the first month of our co-op this year for two kids. And then we worked several Monarch games in the concessions. You probably saw me there this summer. and then we also worked some KU football games together. We just went, and that was a sacrifice that we made. But financially we can do this. And then that at least paid for our co-op. So we did lots of things like that to just make sure financially we could, we made it happen. It was not because we had this financial opportunity to do so.
And that's the important piece too. Again, and I don't think that's an accident that God had that co-op that you wanted to be a part of, had that opportunity to fundraise for the kids' schooling. Like, because I'm sure that in itself is unique. And so, I mean, again, he just opens door. Like, you just have to ask the right questions or send the email and just keep asking. Mm-hmm. I mean, you asked about your second girl, like, can she just try it out for a day? And then Moose like, no. And then you went back a week later and just kidding. She wants to try it now. Like,
right.
You could have easily said, no, well, that chance has passed.
Yeah.
But it's being persistent. It's knowing that, okay, I'm just going to ask. Because what are they going to tell me? No. Okay.
Even our VRBO guy, I'm like, can we please have this for what we found it for?
Right. All three of us have a sales background now in what one of our side gigs is, kind of thing. And it's go for no. And there's a lot of that. And I think people miss out because in just life circumstances, because they're not willing to
ask again.
Yeah.
I love that you do that, not just for your business, but you also do it for your family.
Well, this was amazing and encouraging, and can't wait to see what next year brings.
Yeah. Is there
any? Baby number five is coming.
Yeah, baby.
Another home birth on the way.
Uh-huh. Over the summer, she planned that well.
Yeah.
And that was a little, can we say souvenir from Florida?
That was a souvenir. Surprise souvenir.
Because that was something else, too, that you guys had been talking about. And
yes.
And you were like, okay, are we going to shut this door?
Exactly.
And you hadn't been not trying.
Yeah. That was kind of crazy how that had worked too, because I felt pretty complete. My husband's like, I think just one more. And we just weren't 100% on the same page yet. And we had just had the conversation that, like, you know what? Like, at the end of this year, I think it's time just to move on. And we've got our healthy family. And God used Florida.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons. And
two bedroom with six people in it. I just want you to know, because you know there was not a lot of going on. There was not a lot of opportunity for that, I'm sure, because you had kids sleeping in your room as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
God thing. Where God guides, he provides. That's what I've lived by with all these things, where he's guiding us, whether it be to Florida, whether it be homeschool, home birth, public school, like where he guides, you have to listen. And he'll provide. You just have to be quiet long enough, be still long enough, and he'll provide.
And pray long enough.
And pray every day.
Yeah. Pray without ceasing.
Yes.
Yeah.
This has been awesome. Well, thank you so much, Myla.
Yeah, for opening up your whole world.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure we pretty much time it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Where can people find you on social media and your Facebook group for Minimalist?
Oh, yes.
So share those with our listeners.
So, yeah, I am on Instagram, just Raising the Littles. And just sharing motherhood through there. And then on Facebook, it's Myla Little for my personal account. And I did start this little page, which I'm about like after today or I think earlier today, I'm like, I think it's time to do another 30-day like purge.
There you go.
And so I'm changing the name of it, but it has a group right now. The group is Living With Less, but I'm changing the name to Uncovering Joy because that's what I feel like. It's not just Living With Less. It's literally getting back to the joy, uncovering the joy.
So depending on when you listen to this, right. either search Living yes. with Less or Uncovering the Joy yes. with Myla as the group admin.
Yes. We hope you have taken away some nuggets and some encouragement and share this with anyone who you know has questions about minimalizing, homeschooling, and living fully and trusting God.
Yes, absolutely. All right, housewives.
Until next week.
Bye.
Whether we made you laugh or cry today, we pray you feel appreciated, bolder and braver than yesterday, stronger and more faithful for tomorrow, and living in who you were made to be today.
Join our online community on Facebook, link in the show notes, and be sure to review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you enjoy listening. Until next time, housewives, we give you permission to walk confidently, free, and to be intentional in your slippers or stilettos.